I'm Polly Warren and welcome to the Positive Perimenopause Podcast. This is the place for some positive inspiration to help you through the rollercoaster ride of perimenopause. I truly believe that with the right support, knowledge and wellness tools, you can feel your best yet. Because I'm learning this life phase can be a truly exciting and often pivotal time of life. With every episode, my mission is to support and empower you to own your menopause, because it's time to start taking care of the most important person, and yes, that's you. So thank you for being here and sharing your time with me. Now let's dive in. Hello and welcome to this week's episode. How are you all doing? Well, this week, rather than being in my home recording into my microphone, I'm recording this on my phone in South Africa. It was a very last minute decision to come with my sister and visit my parents who have been spending January and February here. And it really, I can't quite believe we did it. I still can't quite believe I'm here, because it was only really 10 days ago that I was having a conversation with my dad on the phone. Oh, I said to him, oh gosh, can I come? It sounds lovely. And he just went, well, yes, you could. And I was like, no, of course I couldn't. I've got the kids, I've got work. It just isn't possible. And then I put the phone down and I suddenly was like, well, maybe it is possible. Maybe I could do it. This is why I have my own online business, so that I can work anywhere in the world. And then I thought, right, I'm going to call my sister and see on the off chance that she might be able to get the time off work. And when I first spoke to her, she was like, no, of course I can't. Don't be ridiculous. Anyway, she also thought about it. And a couple of days later, she called me and was like, they've given me time off work. So we booked our tickets and we took the 12-hour flight. And then we had a night in Cape Town, and then we hired a car and did a road trip of 6 hours to a place called Plettenberg Bay. Our car terrified us, because after about 4 hours, it started making the scariest loud noises. And we suddenly realized it was something to do with the steering wheel. And we're like, oh my God, we don't want to be stuck on the side of the road in the absolute middle of nowhere. But somehow we made it. We kind of hobbled into Plettenberg, and we've actually managed now to swap our hire car with one which actually works. And here we are. It's just completely nuts and really quite exciting, and feels very adventurous that we just did this so last minute. And I'm so delighted we did, because my parents are approaching, both of them are approaching 80, and it's just, I think, time to spend as much time with them as possible. And my mum has been diagnosed with Alzheimer's and vascular dementia, and I just feel that now we need to spend as much time with her as possible before, because it is such a bloody horrendous illness. And so here we are. We've had some great sunny weather. We've also had a little bit of rain. There's the most incredible beach, and we're here for a week. So that everyone at home seems to be coping. And I'm just telling you this, I suppose, because sometimes in life, and I'm totally put myself in this category, is that we live day to day, we carry on going through the motions, and we forget sometimes what's really, really, really important. And I think for a lot of us, our health is probably the most important thing, because without it, really, what have we got? And relationships and family obviously are super important as well. And I just want to say, I'm just so, so grateful that we're doing this. And it feels quite exciting to be doing something completely different, completely random, and completely spare of the moment. I just want to remind you that if you would like to book a 90-minute one-to-one menopause support session with me before February, you will get it at the cheaper price of £150. This price will go up in February to £175. I also just want to say that this is open to anybody wherever you may live. So obviously when you pay that money, it will be converted into your own currency. These sessions really can be so helpful just to get you on track, to know what supplements you can take, to know what foods will be helping. They're completely individualized for you, so that the solutions really are going to help you and be personal to you. Okay, on to this week's episode. Now, this week I speak to Melanie Lawson. Melanie is the founder of the brand Bear Biology. Now, Bear Biology is a company that creates and produces fish oil supplements. And this is a company that has gone to great lengths to create the very, very best fish oil supplements. In this episode, Melanie discusses how herself, having suffered from postnatal depression, OCD and anxiety, how this was the driving force for starting her brand Bear Biology. She also discusses how fish oils can boost our mood, improve our mental health, as well as our hair, skin and nails, plus a load more. She tells us what on earth EPA and DHA are and what the difference is between the two. And we discuss why the supplement market is such a minefield. I personally love this brand and I'm convinced it has helped my skin, my hair, brain fog. And I'm sure they're not paying me to say that, by the way. So without further ado, please welcome the absolutely lovely Melanie Lawson. Melanie, it's really lovely to have you here with me on the podcast today. Thank you for joining me.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So Melanie, you are the founder of this fantastic business called Bear Biology. And I really do love this business because I take the fish oil myself. I've really noticed a significant difference in not just the way I feel, but also in my skin, in my hair. But we will come on and talk all about that in a bit. First of all, I would love to understand a little bit about how you got into founding this business. How did you get into fish oil?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Because it is quite an odd one. and I remember when I told friends and family that's what I was going to do, they were all a bit like, what? That's weird. You're going to start a fish oil business. So my background is advertising and marketing. So I had a career in that in London for about 10 years. Gave that up to have my family. Had to have three children. And I have a history of OCD since I was a child. And anxiety / bit of depression. And I suffered quite badly with postnatal depression with my second child and now understand all the reasons for that. But my mother also had very bad mental health problems and was hospitalized with postnatal depression. So I was really aware of it, quite afraid of it, didn't want to have to go into hospital, you know, not be available for my children. And I'm always keen to explore natural health remedies, if that's the right word, before anything else. So I started looking into what I could do supplementation wise or diet lifestyle wise to help. And that's when I discovered that fish oil or omega-3 plays a massive role, not only in the baby's development, but also as a knock-on effect of that on mum's mental health, because we can go into this in more detail, but babies get all of their omega-3 for their brains to grow and their eyes to grow from mum, which makes total sense. So our body very cleverly literally strips our omega-3 from our brain and feeds it to the baby. And that's the same with breast milk. So it kind of makes sense that unless you're topping that up, and you have to be careful with eating fish in pregnancy because of mercury levels, and you tend to end up cutting out a lot of the things that you need, you can end up deficient. And that's how I came into loving omega-3.
But it's often the way, isn't it? It's our own experience takes us in that direction of where we end up. So what exactly, Melanie, is omega-3?
Yeah, so there's quite a few omegas, and 3 and 6 are very well known. 9 is also mostly found in olive oil, so 9's also important. But omega-3 is basically, it's a fatty acid, and it's called an essential fatty acid because our bodies need it to function properly, but we can't make it. So vitamin D is an example of something that we can make through sunlight exposure, but omega-3, you have to eat it. And there are various types of omega-3, but the really important ones are called EPA and DHA.
Okay.
And we can go into that in more detail. They have slightly different roles, but they're the kind of they're the key ones that you'll see in supplements, and they're the ones that most of the research, there's over 14,000 clinical trials that have been done on omega-3, and they're the two key ones. Omega-6 is also an essential fatty acid, and we do need that, and we also get that through diet. But omega-6 is very available in vegetable oils. It's in mostly in a lot of our meats and chicken because they're the way they're fed. And omega-6, too much omega-6 is not very good for us because it's pro-inflammatory, so it causes inflammation. Whereas omega-3 is anti-inflammatory, and the two need to be nicely balanced. So the ratio should be like 1:1, ideally. But because of our diet now, which is most people are eating quite a lot of processed food, and not even like heavily processed food like McDonald's or ready meals, but just things like, you know, biscuits, bread, that kind of stuff largely has quite a lot of omega-6 in it because most stuff is made with vegetable oil. And that's very high in omega-6. So actually the ratio in a typical Western diet, so typical UK diet,
yeah,
is around 1:20. So 1 omega-3 to 20 omega-6.
Wow. Gosh, that's a lot, that's, isn't it?
Yeah.
Gosh, so we really need to start thinking about changing it. So how did you specifically discover that omega-3 was helping you mm-hmm. with your postnatal depression?
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the DHA, which I mentioned earlier,
is
the omega-3 that actually forms a building block of our brain tissue, our cells. So at a cellular level, DHA, like I said, helps your eyes to grow, your cells to form properly. And when I was doing a bit of research, I found out that omega-3 obviously plays that role. So it made sense to me, although typically there's been very few, there are approved health claims for DHA to support babies' brain development and brain health, but there aren't many studies around maternal mental health because, as usual, things that affect women don't get studied. So, because, you know,
that's a whole other topic.
So, but it made sense to me because I thought, well, if DHA plays a huge role in your brain functioning properly, then if I'm deficient in that, and there's a great book, and I'll remember the name in a minute, which is basically says that women, mums, are deficient in key nutrients for at least 2 years after they've had a baby. So it made sense to me that I would be deficient in that because I'd had pregnancy, breastfeeding quite close together, and I hadn't topped up my omega-3.
Yeah.
So I started taking an omega-3, eating more, just tin sardines are a really great way to get omega-3. So I would literally eat tin sardines for lunch every day because it's only certain fish that are high in omega-3. Sadly, it's not like cod or haddock, and salmon's not very high anymore, unfortunately. And I just started feeling a lot better. And we hear this from so many people, and I've got some amazing stories of how like a lady who's left a review on our site, actually, her migraines have been cured just from taking our omega-3 within weeks. And she's had them for years, crippling migraines, because it just means your brain works properly. And it was literally that. And I have no evidence, I have no proof, but I just felt normal again. And that's the only thing that I changed.
And that's the thing. Sometimes we just need that, you know, your own evidence. It's kind of enough, isn't it, to kind of set you on your way. So interesting what you said about that book you referenced, showing that women are generally 2 years deficient in lots of essential nutrients because they've been either pregnant or baby. You know, it makes sense. Your baby takes everything from you, then you're breastfeeding.
Yep.
I actually have read somewhere that it's much longer than that as well, because then if you think once you've then, you know, you come home, you've got your newborn baby and you're looking after it, you've gone through that whole experience of birth, and then you're breastfeeding, and then you've got a child, and then you might have other children. We don't look after ourselves. So we do become deficient in nutrients. And I truly believe, and I do think there is some evidence, that some research out there to suggest that, I think it was something like 80% of women going into perimenopause are deficient in nutrients because they just haven't replenished them since either having children or just because their diet isn't of a particular quality. And also, if we think about the quality of soils these days, we're not getting the nutrients. So yeah, I mean, I think that is such a big thing for people to bear in mind, that actually we think we might be eating the healthiest of diets, but we might have a real overhang from pregnancy and from everything which has gone before. Just quickly on DHA and EPA. So you've mentioned what DHA is. It's kind of for the eyes and for our cells. What about EPA? How's that different?
So EPA is the anti-inflammatory type of omega-3. So also really important for our bodies to function properly. And so in fish, you'll find EPA and DHA in this sort of in the same ratio, ideally, as you'd find them in supplements, which ours are. And EPA is really good for things like, so people often associate omega-3 with heart health and joint health. So it's really that anti-inflammatory effect really helps with things like proper blood flow, so your arteries aren't supple and they're not inflamed. So inflamed joints is helped by omega-3 because it reduces that inflammation. There aren't any approved health claims for skin, but a lot of people take our supplements for their skin. And I think what's really interesting about skin is a kind of outward, not a mirror, I suppose it is a mirror of what's going on inside your body. So generally things like eczema, acne, rosacea are inflammation, and inflammation inside your body, which is, so my daughter, for example, my eldest has a dairy issue, and her eczema flares up as pretty much as soon as she's eaten it, within a day. So that's internal inflammation, which shows in your skin. So people take our omega-3, their skin clears up, their eczema goes away. So if you imagine what that's also doing to your inside, because the skin is generally the last organ that gets the nutrients. So EPA, ideally you'd take EPA and DHA. DHA is really, really, really important if you're pregnant or you've just had a baby, you're breastfeeding. Really important to keep going with all the time. But EPA is really great for, anything that's sort of can be inflammation-based. And most illness is inflammation-based. Yeah. And chronic inflammation, which is that kind of low level, you know, people who have gut issues, that's, you know, an inflammation of the gut, all of those things generally comes down to some sort of inflammation.
So as you're talking there, I was just thinking about perimenopause and perimenopause symptoms. I was thinking about my own symptoms. My goodness, even through pregnancy, if only I had known about all of this, then I wonder what difference it might have made, because, you know, joints for me was a real, real issue in my early 40s. I felt like I was about 130, just everything hurt. So I can imagine that taking this fish oil at that time would have really, really, really helped. So perimenopause and menopause. So I'm just thinking in terms of skin, in terms of gut, in terms of inflammation, so many of those symptoms are inflammatory because of kind of how estrogen works within the body. And when we've got reduced estrogen, it kind of creates more inflammation. How can Melanie taking fish oil help us, other than what we've kind of already said, during our sort of perimenopause years?
Mm-hmm. I think the primary role is, and I'd say this about good fats in general, because the other problem is women generally, you know, you worry about your weight, you start gaining weight also around that period. And because we've had it drummed into us that, you know, fat is bad, the fat goes out, people go to try and go on low fat things. So good fats are incredibly important. And so omega-3 is one of those fats. So I'd say the primary role is, and I'd say this for other fats, is keeping up your good fats during that period and onwards. But yeah, I think the key things, because if you think what people suffer with, like you say, so it's joints, the brain fog and the anxiety, I hear a lot from friends, and particularly the anxiety piece. And I think that's where DHA in particular really helps. And there's a lot of research being done at the moment in America on the role of omega-3 with ex-soldiers who have PTSD and who develop, sadly, addictions to drugs, alcohol, trying to deal with those things. And it's just their brain's just not working properly. And anxiety is also linked to the gut. And that's another whole thing about gut bacteria. But if your brain's not working properly, that kind of that anxiety piece can be way worse. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because I've had people explain to me, and I've had the same thing, where you feel anxious for no reason. And also just the way your hormones are all going out of whack. So you probably know more about this than I do, but I think that when your estrogen starts dropping, your body produces more cortisol, and your stress hormones get all out of whack as well. So omega-3 helps with that kind of hormonal regulation around the stress hormones and just making everything work properly. And again, just going back to the brain piece, and that's why I think it really helped me with postnatal depression, helps with OCD, is your brain's firing properly. So your neurons are firing properly. And kind of it's a bit like a computer that's gone wrong. I feel like that's how I felt with my brain, that I was just getting so anxious about the kids and just like overly anxious about stuff that they were doing and worrying about them. And it's just being able to cope mentally with all the shifts in hormones. And I think that's what I think it helps with the most. Definitely the joint pain.
Yeah.
But I think if your brain is working properly, then everything works properly, because your brain is obviously regulating all of your hormones. And if that's not working properly, then nothing works. That makes sense.
Yeah, it totally does. As someone yourself who has suffered obviously with OCD and then postnatal depression, you're probably more at risk for to suffer with anxiety and depression and all these sorts of these mental health things which come up at perimenopause, because that's what happens really, because it's a massive flux in hormones. It's obviously, you know, when we're pregnant, postnatal, prenatal, our hormones are having huge shifts, as they are at perimenopause. So yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I think it's something which women hopefully are aware of, if you've already suffered from prenatal or postnatal depression, that actually as you're in your 40s and you're hitting perimenopause, it's something which actually you can start doing something about by if you do take some fish oil, if you take Bare Biology fish oil, it'll be even better. But it will really, it could really help to, yeah, get your brain functioning in a way which is going to support you through it. I hear you, because as I was going through perimenopause in those early days, for someone who's never really had suffered with anxiety or low mood before, never, suddenly it was like I was whacked on the back of the head with full on anxiety and just this low mood I couldn't get myself out of. And it took ages to kind of lift both of those. And in the end, for me, I ended up taking HRT because that was the one thing which I felt worked. But yeah, again, I'm thinking, if I hadn't done the HRT and I had known more about fish oil, I wonder if that would have done the shift in a slightly different way. So I think it's like everything, we just got to be aware, be well informed, experiment, see if it works for us. And I think now I do think fish oil is something which, as you say, there's more and more research being done about it. I mean, is there? What is the research on fish oil at the moment?
There's lots of current research going on, but all the big pieces of research that have been done have been mostly about heart and brain.
Okay.
There's a thing called approved health claims about vitamins and minerals and supplements, which is really unhelpful in a way. I mean, it's helpful in a way, but also really unhelpful, because if you pick up a supplement in a health store, it doesn't really tell you what it does, because you can't say very much about what it does. So, you know, there's an approved health claim for vitamin C, for example, around immunity, which most people are aware of. So, yeah, sadly, there's not enough research into women's health with omega-3. But like the one I mentioned in America that's ongoing, and the other things, it takes forever. So these things take years and years and years. There is a very interesting study that was done by a lady called Dr. Alex Richardson at Oxford University. It became quite well known about 20 years ago. And she did a study into the role of omega-3 in children's development and education and learning. So it was another whole subject, which is around how important it is for children. Children don't eat oily fish. So, you know, we have a product for children. And yeah, their research concluded that children who they were on the placebo versus the children who were taking omega-3, their reading was much worse, like significantly worse. So yeah, there's always studies going on, and we try and stay on top of them. But it's very tricky, the whole supplement space, because it's so heavily regulated, and yeah, things take forever. And there's just, unfortunately, the research goes where the money is, and it's not a lot of money in natural health.
It's frustrating, though, isn't it? Because as you say, it's heavily regulated, but at the same time, the quality of supplements out there is so varied, and it's a complete minefield. So it can be for the consumer, it's so blimmin' confusing.
Really is.
So why, I'm just curious, I don't really understand, why is the quality not regulated in the same way as kind of, you know, what you can say that supplement's for?
Well, I have some theories about it, which would make me sound, you know, like a bit nuts. But I do think I think it comes down to, again, there's just not much money in it. And I think, you know, there's a lot of money in big food and big pharma, and they, you know, they have a lot of influence. And actually, there's a lot of interest in people not being well, and there's a lot of interest in people eating bad processed food and taking medicine for things that, you know, I've just bought a book from America actually about things you can make at home for natural remedies. So things like for coughs and colds that you can just find in your garden, and herbs that you can use. And it's so interesting. And you think back to and obviously modern medicine's great in a lot of ways, but if you think back to pre-medicine and maybe cultures where they're still using things that are available, herbs, plants, and sort of, you know, mother's remedies kind of stuff, those things actually work.
Yeah.
But people can't make money out of saying to you, well, look, you know, you don't need, like we meant, I mentioned to you before we started recording, the sage leaf tea for night sweats. That's just cheap and easy. There's no money to be made out of that. Telling people, well, just make some sage leaf tea. So you mentioned earlier about soil depletion, which is a real problem, like really bad. And I don't understand why it doesn't get any sort of coverage. Is our soils really depleted in things like selenium, magnesium? So like you say, you could be eating what you think is a really healthy diet and still not getting the nutrients you need. So actually, we need to take supplements, but there's a lot of money in supplements. If you're, you know, there's some very big supplement companies, and Nestle owns a lot of supplement companies, like surprising how many they own. You don't realize, oh, that's owned by Nestle. And they just use cheap ingredients. Omega-3 is a great example of where, this is one of the reasons I started my brand, actually. If you go and look at an omega-3 supplement, you'll often see high strength, 1,000 milligram. You think, oh, okay, that sounds good, 1,000 milligram. And it's only when you look at the small print on the in the ingredients bit that you'll see that only a couple of hundred milligrams of that is EPA and DHA. So you think, oh, I'm getting 1,000 milligrams of omega-3. You're not. You're getting a couple of hundred milligrams, which is nowhere near enough, like nowhere near. And a lot of those studies around heart health are based on 3,000 milligrams a day, not a couple of hundred. So there's lots of sort of, you know, dodgy marketing, trying to make loads of money, positioning stuff as 1,000 milligram, but that's actually just the weight of the capsule. It's a 1,000 milligram capsule. Right. It's not 1,000 milligrams of omega-3. So there's all sorts of just, like in everything, it's a bit like, you know, you can buy a really lovely, you know, I eat meat and I think, you know, that's a whole other thing. Iron deficiency in women is a huge problem. And a lot of women become plant-based going to perimenopause. And actually then that's a whole other, you know, host of problems around deficiencies. But you know, eating a beautiful grass-fed steak from a lovely local farmer who's looked after their cows and hasn't pumped them with antibiotics, and you pay a bit more for that, but you're getting really good quality meat from an ethically grown animal versus £2 for some minced beef from Tesco. It's kind of the same. It's like, you know, quality costs money, and to run a business ethically costs money, because things that are done properly cost money. Sorry, I've gone off on a real tangent.
Yeah,
there.
No, and I totally agree. So when it comes to bare biology, I know that this is a massive, this is really, really important to you in terms of the quality. So maybe you can just tell us how you ensure the highest quality products at bare biology.
Yeah, well, it is that, and that's, and again, another reason I started my brand, because I was buying brands and then looking into them and going, well, there's nothing in this, or doesn't tell me which fish this came from. Are they sustainably sourced fish? Are they contaminated fish? Because, you know, our oceans sadly are contaminated with byproducts of petrol, plastics. So we use an amazing manufacturer in Norway who only use sustainably sourced wild fish, small fish as well, so sardines, anchovies, mackerel, not salmon and tuna, because salmon and tuna, because they're much bigger and they live a lot longer, they accumulate more mercury and all sorts of other things. We also get all of our products certified by IFOS, which no one's heard of, which stands for International Fish Oil Standards. And they check every single finished batch, and they check everything from how much EPA and DHA is in it versus what we're claiming is in it, how fresh it is. So a lot of people don't like taking fish oil because it repeats on them and they get fishy burps or it makes them feel sick. And that's because omega-3 is a really volatile fat. So it will go off very, very quickly and get very fishy very quickly. And it's not necessarily bad for you, although there is some evidence that that can cause inflammation, but it's just really unpleasant. And, you know, you don't want to be burping up fish all day. So they check the freshness, and then they check for, like, it's over 200 different things they check, including mercury, arsenic, PCBs, which are plastic residues, which are carcinogenic. So we do all of that. I still oversee all the production. We get everything done in the UK, apart from we source our fish oil and our collagen from Norway, but everything else is done here. We know all of the supply chain inside out. I've met them all. I know them all.
So that check, do other fish oil companies not have to have that check? They choose not to?
No, it's voluntary. I mean, there are strict labelling laws. So, you know, like I said, if you look at a 1,000 milligram capsule, it will have to say how much omega-3 is actually in it. But you don't know. They don't have to tell you where the fish is from, what kind of fish they've used. They don't have to publish their test results. So that's the other thing we do. We publish all of our test results on our website. So on each product page, you can download our test results and the IFOS test results. But the amount of, you know, if you email a well-known fish oil company and say, can you please send me your test results? They won't do it. They don't have to.
Yeah, yeah, but it makes you wonder, doesn't it? What's in those products?
There's a lot of really cheap and nasty supplements around. People say to me, gosh, you know, your fish oils are expensive. And I'm like, well, on the face of it, yes, because you can go to Asda and buy a £3 or Holland & Barrett tub of omega-3s for £3. When you take off the VAT and you take off the packaging and you take off all the retail margin, like when you take it all down to how much they've spent on that fish oil, and it's the cheapest, nastiest, mass-produced, you know.
And would you say that might be doing you more harm than good?
Potentially, yeah.
Yeah, and they can still claim, well, I suppose you still can't claim the benefits of it, but you can market it as a fish oil.
And, yeah, they can claim, because the approved health claims around fish oil is quite low around, so it's like 250 milligrams of DHA, you can then make a health claim.
Okay.
So, yeah, on the face of it, it's all fine and they're not breaking any rules, but it's a bit like, you know, healthy cereals that are marketed for children.
Yeah.
Because they've got added niacin and then it's like, okay, but it's like massively overprocessed wheat, sugar, and seed oil. But yeah, they're able to market it as healthy. It's not vaguely healthy.
So what we have to look out for then, we have to look at the ingredients, check the quantity of DHA and EPA in the supplement.
Yes.
And ideally look for the stamp of approval by the, what was it? It was the...
It was IFOS.
IFOS.
It would be the only brand that you'll find in this country with that. There are a couple of American brands that you can get here that have it, but we're the only UK brand that has that.
Okay, great. So we've talked about brain health and so heart health. So it helps our hearts. And as we know, as we go through menopause, I think it's the second killer in women is cardiovascular health after dementia, which is the first killer. So it's really vitally important that we look after our hearts.
Yes, and loads of clinical evidence about how it protects our hearts.
Okay. Yeah. And then something I'd like to talk to you about is skin. Because obviously our skin ages as we get older. However, one thing I have really noticed with my skin since I've been taking your fish oils is my skin just feels plumper and just more or less, I don't know, I can't quite describe what it is, but I just feel more youthful.
So, I mean, that is the thing. That's what if you look at any of our reviews, that is the one thing that really stands out. People say, oh my gosh, my skin. And they weren't necessarily taking it for their skin. They might have been taking it for something else. So omega-3, as I said, plays a big role in your cell health and how your cells are functioning. So there's evidence that what omega-3 does for your skin cells is exactly as you described, and that's what it also does in your brain cells, is it helps them stay more elastic. And the way I kind of picture it is, if you think about, you know, when you've got dry skin, if you rub a nice oil into your skin, it automatically feels more elastic, more supple, less tight. So if you imagine that's what it's doing inside on a cellular level, it also helps the cell to retain water. It also helps it to get rid of toxins. A good description I heard from a guy called Robert Lustig, who's worth looking up because he's done loads of stuff on sugar, but also omega-3, is if you think of a cell as like a balloon, and if it's like a really tight, hard, blown-up balloon, if you kind of press it, it doesn't yield and you can pop it really easily, versus a balloon that's not quite so blown up and it's more malleable and it doesn't pop. So if you think that's what omega-3 is doing for your cells, so that's why your skin, like you say, feels plumper, is plumper, because your cells are kind of more plumped out, more elastic, not kind of dry and like brittle. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And again, that inflammation piece, which it helps with. But yeah, there isn't really much research in omega-3 in skin, but we know it definitely has a massive impact on problem skin. The amount of people who've said to me, oh my God, my skin, my hair, my nails.
And what about you personally, Melanie, in terms of your own perimenopause? So I'm presuming you're in your 40s.
I'm going to be 50 in less than 20 days.
Oh.
Yeah, 50.
Oh, you're a 1973 person as well. Me too. Yeah. Well, I'm 50 at the end of this year. So
Okay,
so you're doing, so how are you doing then with your own perimenopause?
Well, it took me a while to figure out that that's what it was. And I kind of thought, oh, it probably, you know, like joint pain. I play a lot of tennis and I was getting a lot of tennis elbow and just stuff like that. And then I think it's in the last few months is my periods have really slowed down, like dramatically slowed down. So I'm definitely in the full throes of it. I've definitely noticed the night sweats have kicked in, and the sage leaf tea has been helping with that. And the anxiety bit, I'd say, is there a little bit. But, and like you say, I'm at risk of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because of the last few years, most people's anxiety levels and stress levels are quite high anyway. But I'm not, touch wood, and I'm assuming it's because of the omega-3 I take. And I do eat lots of healthy fat. I eat a lot of olive oil. That's not too bad. Definitely had a bit of the brain fog, I think. But yeah, I feel like I'm now in the throes of it, because I haven't had a period now for nearly 50 days and I used to be pretty regular.
Wow, it sounds like you're doing pretty blimmin' well, considering what you suffered with mental health. You know, by the age of 49, if you're only just noticing it now,
yeah,
that's a real testament to all the things you're doing just as general lifestyle. So well done.
Yeah,
I think that's so. It sounds good. I mean, one thing I would recommend to include lots of it in your diet are phytoestrogens.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So ground linseed is a fantastic one.
Every day.
Yeah. So you're doing.
Yeah. In fact, I'd say to add to that, the other thing is I didn't realize, and it's obvious, but I don't think many people know this, is you detox mostly through your poo. And most women are constipated generally and don't poo enough. And I have gut issues and issues with FODMAPs. I have IBS, so I can't eat pulses and lots of high fiber stuff. So ground flaxseed has been an absolute lifesaver for me, and I have it in a coffee. So yeah. Actually, we're going to publish the recipe next week. But again, this my friend Kate gave this to me. So it's coffee. It's like I don't know if you've heard of keto coffee, which is coffee with fat in it.
No, I haven't.
So there's ketogenic diets that are basically very high fat, low carb, low protein, which work really well for some things. They're quite hard to do, but there's a lot of evidence about them. But so it's basically coffee, ground flaxseed, a good tablespoon, mm-hmm. like a measuring spoon, MCT oil, which is a type of coconut oil, almond butter, a little bit of cacao and the cinnamon, and blend it all up. It's delicious. And that means, sorry to be graphic, but that I go to the loo every day,
yep.
whereas I used to could go a week and nothing.
Wow.
And all the, apparently, I didn't know this, but all your hormones, you need to excrete them through
absolutely.
Your
poo.
And if you're not pooing, they recirculate.
And they become more and more toxic.
They become more and more toxic.
Yeah.
So you have to poo. And the great thing about flaxseed is your phytoestrogens and you're pooing.
So. Yeah, exactly. And it's really helping with hormone regulation as well. So
yeah.
it's a kind of it's a win-win-win.
Definitely.
Is there anything else before we finish which you feel the listeners would really benefit from knowing about fish oil, which we haven't talked about, particularly for perimenopause and menopause?
I don't think so. I think we've covered everything. I think it's one of those things that it's definitely not going to do you any harm. So it's worth taking. Like this lady I mentioned with the migraine, it was a podcast I was on, and she has a panel of customers who try products.
Mm-hmm.
This one lady had never taken omega-3, she's in her 50s, and didn't change anything. And they're just taking our fish oil every day. And it's literally changed her life.
I've listened to her on your website. So brilliant.
Yeah. And I think the other thing I'd say is on our website, on our blog, we've got two blog posts, which my friend Kate has written about. It's called Getting Ready for the Menopause Marathon. That's in two parts. It's quite easy to read. And it's just some really basic things around getting enough fat, getting enough protein, you know, movement is obviously really important. So I do strength training twice a week. It's not my favorite thing, but it's just 2 hours
yeah.
and keeping up your muscle, all that's really important. But yeah, I'd say there are some quite basic things we can do, and omega-3 is one of them. That makes such a huge, and I'd say flaxseed is another yeah. one.
Amazing. I normally ask my guests at the end of every episode, if there was one take-home tip, practical, actionable tip that you could give the listeners to help them have a positive perimenopause, what would it be?
I would say is do some reading and research around some quite simple things that nobody tells us that we could change. And I think people are a bit cynical, and I've included myself in this sometimes with, well, that's not going to help, is it? You know, surely sage leaf tea is not going to do anything. These things really work. And I think we mentioned this before we started recording. I'm of the view that if our body is clever enough to make a baby and feed the baby, it's definitely clever enough to get through menopause. And like you said before, when we were chatting, you know, women in Asia, generally it seems to be don't suffer from this the way we do, because they have a very different diet, very different lifestyle. So yeah, I think it's do some reading and be open-minded around the difference that changes to your diet can help. And you don't have to do something really vile, drastic, like being on juice cleanses all the time, or, you know, it's actually quite simple and quite basic. Yeah. And it does make a difference.
Exactly. It's knowing what's available to you and then
yeah.
finding what works for you, because we're all so unique and different. Yeah. And if something doesn't work, then try something else.
Then stop it and try something. Definitely. It's like I said this on a Instagram live we did the other day about detoxing. I can't do like high fiber, like veg smoothie stuff because it kills my guts. It's like the worst thing. And you kind of push through thinking, well, this is meant to be good for me, but I feel terrible. Your body's very clever. If your body's not liking something, it will let you know. If your body's liking something, it will also let you know. You go, oh, I feel a bit better. Just experiment. You're not going to hurt yourself doing natural stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Thank you. Melanie, if people want to come and find out more about Bare Biology, they want to get their hands on some of your capsules, your supplements, where can they come?
So the best place is our website, which is barebiology.com. And we're on Instagram, Bare Biology. But if you're an Amazon shopper, you can buy us on Amazon. And if you prefer to buy us in shops, we're in like Planet Organic, Whole Foods, all those kind of Victoria Health. But yeah, we have tons and tons of really great content in our blog written by expert nutritional therapists. And there's just, tons of info on there.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Melanie, for joining me today. It's been a real pleasure to meet you. And I just love everything you're doing. I will continue to take my fish oil because I really do notice a difference. So thanks for all the work you do.
That's great. Thank you.
I will put all of Melanie's details and Bare Biology's details into the show notes. If you've enjoyed listening to this episode, I would absolutely love to hear your thoughts. And if you want to leave us a review, please do come over to Apple Podcasts and leave a review. It really does help get this podcast out there. And obviously, if you want to come and book a menopause support session with me, please do get in touch. You can come over to Instagram at Polly Warren Coaching, or you can email at info@pollywarren.com. Or for more information, there's a link in the show notes where you can find out more about what you'll get. Have a wonderful rest of the week, and I will speak to you next time when I will be back in the UK. Take care. Bye.